The account of the first Pentecost from Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place.
Y como se cumplieron los días de Pentecoste, estaban todos uníamos juntos.
Als der Tag des Pfingsten kam, waren sie alle in einem Platz zusammen.
Le jour de la Pentecôte, ils étaient tous ensemble dans le même lieu.
பெந்தகோஸ்தே என்னும் நாள் வந்தபோது அவர்கள் எல்லாரும் ஒருமனப்பட்டு ஓரிடத்திலே வந்திருந்தார்கள்.
Chegou o dia de Pentecostes, estavam todos juntos no mesmo lugar.
Nang sumapit ang araw ng Pentecostes, silang lahat ay nasa iisang pook na nagkakaisa.
Jab Pentecost ka din aaya to ve sab ek jagah ikatthe the.
Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Todos llenos del Espíritu Santo y comenzaron a hablar en otras lenguas como el Espíritu les daba de hablarse.
Alle Gläubigen wurden mit dem Heiligen Geist erfüllt und fingen an, in fremden Sprachen zu sprechen, wie der Geist ihnen die Fähigkeit gab zu sprechen.
Ils furent tous remplis du Saint-Esprit et se mirent à parler en d'autres langues selon que l'Esprit leur donnait de s'exprimer.
அவர்கள் எல்லாரும் பரிசுத்த ஆவியினாலே நிரப்பப்பட்டு ஆவியானவர் தங்களுக்கு தந்திருந்த வரத்தின்படியே வெவ்வேறு பாஷையிலே பேசத் தொடங்கினார்கள்.
E todos cheios do Espírito Santo começaram a falar em outras línguas.
At silang lahat ay napuspos ng banal na Espiritu at nagsimulang magsalita sa ibang mga wika ayon sa ibinigay ng Espiritu sa kanila na kanilang sasabihin.
Aur ve sab pavitra atma se bhar gaye. और जिस प्रकार आत्मा ने उन्हें बोलने की समर्था दी वे अन्य अन्य भाषा में बोलने लगे।
Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people.
Derramaré de mi espíritu sobre toda carne.
Ich werde meinen Geist auf alle gießen.
Je répandrai de mon esprit sur toute chair.
கடைசி நாட்களில் நான் மாம்சமான யாவர் மேலும் என் ஆவியை ஊற்றுவேன்.
Derramarei sobre todos os povos o Espírito Santo.
Ibubuhos ko ang aking espiritu sa lahat ng mga tao.
परमेश्वर कहता है कि अंत के दिनों में ऐसा होगा कि मैं अपनी आत्मा सब मनुष्य पर उड़ेलूंगा।
Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
Derramaré de mi espíritu y profetizarán.
In den letzten Tagen. Ich werde meinen Geist auf alle gießen und sie werden sprechen, was Gott offenbart hat.
Je répandrai de mon esprit sur toute chair et ils profiteront.
அந்நாட்களில் என் ஆவியை ஊற்றுவேன் அப்பொழுது அவர்கள் தீர்க்க தரிசனம் சொல்லுவார்கள்.
Derramarei sobre todos o Espírito Santo e profetizarão.
I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Y será que todo aquel que invocare el nombre del Señor será salvo.
Und dann wird jeder, der den Namen des Herrn anruft, gerettet werden.
Alors, quiconque invoquera le nom du Seigneur sera sauvé.
அப்பொழுது கர்த்தருடைய நாமத்தை தொழுது கொள்ளுகிறவன் எவனோ அவன் ரட்சிக்கப்படுவான்.
E todos que invocam o nome de Deus serão salvos.
Mangyayari na ang bawat isang tatawag sa pangalan ng Panginoon ay maliligtas.
Jo koi Prabhu ka naam lega, wahi udhar paega.
This is the word of the Lord.
The second chapter of Acts is our text for this morning. You heard it read earlier by a variety of individuals here. I love Pentecost. Pentecost is one of my favorite days of the year. Not because it was the primary church festival in the early church, though it was. Not because red paraments really pop on the altar and the preacher, though they do. I like Pentecost because of our practice here at Bethany, of hearing the Pentecost account read in the variety of languages that are present in the members of our congregation. I think if you include first service as well, we had some different readers, about a dozen languages this morning. I just love that. I am not blessed to be a dual language speaker. At least not on any level that you would understand. You know, when you are a language learner, a second language, sometimes you do say something that you think is communicating something that is entirely different from what you're actually saying. We've been rewatching a MASH, and there's this episode where Father Mulcahy runs in to kind of calm down a patient who has grabbed a scalpel, and Father Mulcahy's speaking Korean to him, and he's saying these words, and he thinks what he is saying is, we're here for peace. We come in peace. We're friends, you know, something like that. And, you know, when the situation is all finally settled, he finds out he's been saying, the village is pregnant. The village is pregnant. There are times what you think you're saying isn't actually what you're saying. I just learned this week that I have been speaking emoji incorrectly. So I have been sending an emoji to say yes, because I thought it meant yes, when actually all it means is, I got your message. And I've been sending a different emoji that I thought meant, I got your message, and I just learned it means yes. So I kind of been scratching my head, what did I say yes to over these years, not knowing what I have said yes to? You know, I kind of think just about every politician who has probably ever run for re-election has at some point or another used the slogan, promise made, promise kept. And there are times, I'll be honest, you kind of scratch my head and wonder if we're speaking the same language. Does promise really mean what you're saying it means? Because I'm not sure that really works like that. Or does kept actually mean what you are saying it means? You know, sometimes we don't speak the same language. Pentecost is a promise made, promise kept event. And it means exactly what the words say. Pentecost is a promise made day. Through the prophet Joel, God had said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. There will be prophecies and visions and dreams. all this on the great and glorious day before the coming of him upon whom all will call and be saved. Promise made. And you heard the account of that first Pentecost. The wind blew. The hearts were stirred. The tongues of flame lapped. And the people spoke. Promise made. Promise kept. God had promised, you heard it in the gospel reading, that through Christ, another helper would come. A counselor. A guide. The Spirit of truth would fall. And you saw the scene from Acts. That Spirit came. He not only fell on, but he dwelled within the believers. And they began to proclaim the wonders of God. The real power was not the variety of languages, but the unity of the message. One singular truth. Jesus, who was put to death, has been freed from the agony of death. Impossible it was for death to keep its hold on him. The Spirit gave each one of the believers that conviction. And it moved the early church to the proclamation that Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ shall come again. That same Spirit falls on the church all these years later. That same Spirit dwells in you today. And while we might talk a whole lot of different languages, we have one united communication. Christ Jesus, who died on the cross, has been freed from the agony of death. The grave couldn't keep its hold on him. Promise made, promise kept. And God promised through the apostles that individual Christians would be identified with his mission. Peter, as he's talking to everyone on that Pentecost day, explaining what is going on, says these words, "Though you accuse these people of being drunk, they are not, nor are they deluded. They have been delivered and are delivering this message, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Though he was crucified, he is alive. And in him there is forgiveness of sin." Promise made. Promise kept. Not only regarding those who are written about in that first account, but including all of you who are here to celebrate it. You are witnesses to the wonders of God in Christ. Ambassadors of the good news. Partners in the gospel. Think of all the ways that the apostles talk about you and your role as one who is identified with the mission of God. Promise made, promise kept. You know, promise made, promise kept is probably a pretty good slogan for someone who's looking to get elected. It's a far better truth for those who are the elect of God. God's promises to pour out his Spirit on you, to send you a counselor, a guide, to bring you to faith, to strengthen you to follow in the way of Christ, to grant you forgiveness for all sin, to empower you on his mission, promise made, promise kept. Like all God's promises, they are kept in Christ for us, the elect of God, created in his own image, known by him before the foundations of the world, known by him within our mother's wombs, the very hairs of your head numbered, the very days which you will draw breath numbered. You who have been declared to be his own, with his name written on you in water and in word. You who the Spirit has brought to faith and brought to this very moment for you, for us. All of God's promises made in Christ are kept. But we're not supposed to keep them to ourselves. I think it's kind of cool that this Pentecost celebration coincides with the 75th anniversary of D-Day celebration. You're identified with God's mission. Our God is a God of mission, an incredible mission, to defeat the Reich of Three, if you will, sin, death, and the devil, to destroy the powers, the Axis powers set against us of guilt and hell. And he did so by entering this world as an army of one, sacrificing himself on the hill of Calvary to liberate us, to bring us freedom and forgiveness in him. And we're invited not just to celebrate it, but to deliver it, to share that good news with others. I was reading an old German mystic. His name is Spener. I don't suggest you read old German mystics, but I was reading one just for the fun of it, and I came across this quote, and it hit me. I said, oh, at some point that quote's going to bear some fruit for us, and I think it will today. He said, and I quote, "God's promises have the power to save, to change, to deliver. As long as they are not viciously opposed and refused to be heeded." Well, that's a cool quote. God's word has the power to save, to deliver, to change. Of course, hearers do have the power to close their ears and ignore and run away. But that's not where the quote ended. He continues. God's promises have the power to save, deliver, and change unless they are viciously hindered by those who refuse to heed them or by those who refuse to speak them. That's what kind of cut to the quick a little bit. We're called to speak the promises of God over and over and over again. Hey, and some might think you've been drinking a bit. That's what happened there. Some might think that what you're saying is just kind of old-fashioned silliness. That's what happened there. Some might assume that you're not making sense. That's what happened there. But keep speaking the promises of God through lips, through lives, with words and with deeds, because God's promises have the power to save all who call on Christ as Lord. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that your spirit would fall on your church in such a way that every day would be a Pentecost experience for someone. That they would see and hear the wonders that you have done. That they would be moved to faith by the power of your spirit. That they would be drawn to you and serve in your mission. To the glory of your holy name, in which we pray. Amen.